How's it, internet? And welcome back to Two Guys in SharePoint.
The only SharePoint show in sub-Saharan Africa where everything is not made up and there are no points.
Welcome back. Woo!
I had a question. There was a question. Yeah. What was my question? I actually can't remember that. What the question?
Where am I?
Where am I and what am I doing here?
Well, while you think of your question, I will just let anybody who's new to the show know. Okay.
Well, why do you not have an at @oddmodlin in your tag?
Because I forgot to put it in.
That was my question. Carry on.
That is a very good question.
Let's see. He's going to update it. While Odd is updating,
here we go.
If you are new to the show, we talk about all things Microsoft 365 with an essential love for SharePoint. Right? It's the name, Two Guys in SharePoint. And we're never changing the name. Right? We promise to make sure that you take away at least one thing, right? Just one thing that we think is pretty cool in every show. So if you're watching, Rod and I are the cool part of the show. If you're listening, we'll tell you what the cool part is of the show. So sit back, relax, and please try the fish.
Awesome. We've got a lot of news today. First show of the month.
Yes, I think it's in the name, episode 77, March Bumper News Edition, Teams Everywhere. Now, Modlin, I want to ask you a question, right? My friend Rod Trent and Brody and Ed over at the Security Insights podcast, they've got this very sort of like, ba-dum-bum-ba-dum, very sort of 70s Starsky and Hutch, you know, the $6 million man intro, and Ed goes, recorded, and he says the date, right? He literally does that. Should we ask the listeners and or viewers, if you want to comment, head to the YouTube channel. If you are just listening to us on a podcast app of choice, please head to the YouTube channel and just, you know, search for Two Guys in SharePoint YouTube or go to twoguysinsharepoint.co.za. There's a link to the YouTube channel. And please add your comments there because you can't. Can you add a comment to Spotify? I don't know. I have not checked.
I have never seen how read the comments, nor have I seen how one would add a comment. So no, I don't think so.
Okay, maybe. So head over to YouTube and
we don't check them anyway. So
we don't.
Hit up on YouTube.
All right. So in this episode 77. We were going to do a deep dive, but we're not doing a deep dive because it's a bumper news edition. And there's one, two, three, four, five. There's five news things that we want to cover or news segments that we are going to want to cover. In this case, because the title says Teams Everywhere, there's a massive bumper, scrolly, a Teams thing. And we are going to cover that in the news. You're supposed to do it, Modlin, so I can play the news intro.
Okay, try it again. Set up for me again.
Ah, you roboto, dude. You robotoing. Is he frozen?
It's okay on my side. Man.
I'm wired. All right, so you're supposed to say in the news like you did the last episode, and then I play the intro.
All right, I'll give it the new.
Ah, okay. Is this where we haven't recorded in about 3 weeks. So I need more time to figure out what the flow is again, right? So this is where we go to in the news segment and we click on that button, right?
There we go.
And then we have this exposure thing. Now, Modlin, you didn't color code the notes. So I don't know who's doing what.
Who's doing what? Well, we'll wing it. As they say on Saturday Night Live, we'll do it live. We're going to start sec, obviously. exciting stuff. There's some cool things happening. First up, there's a new function that you can add backgrounds, custom pictures, and gradient overlays. You might want to scroll down that page a bit, Al. To your pages in SharePoint, so you can make them prettier. I love these additions when you point pages, just makes it nicer, right? The content management, the page management portion of a content management system in SharePoint really goes from strength to strength. That's cool. Next up. Yeah.
A lot of effort we've seen over the last 6 months around the user experience inside of SharePoint Teams. Not SharePoint Teams, SharePoint Online, SharePoint Teams. Good God, man. Where is my mind? So we've seen a lot of user experience updates over the last 6 months coming from Microsoft, right? And it's a massive thing, right? When Microsoft starts spending a lot of time just on the user experience. You know, a good couple of years ago, Jeff Tepper said, SharePoint sexy again. It's been continuously sexy. And I think these little sort of incremental updates around what the user experience is going to be like inside of SharePoint goes a long way, right? We're surfacing full fidelity SharePoint inside of Microsoft Teams. And I think this goes a long way to giving a better, richer user experience for customers, especially when we go back to the old, we're no longer designing a master page. So how can we elevate the SharePoint Online game so that it's better than the master pages of yesteryear? And what they're doing from a user experience perspective is magic.
Yeah, it gives you the flexibility, right? All these sorts of little tools gives you the power to dictate what is like. More tools in your toolbox. To provide a really nice experience for the users, regardless of what kind of content you're trying to present, which is just really sweet.
Does this even work?
None of them buy them saw particular view that it keeps incrementing and you keep getting new tools in the toolbox is great.
Someone's got to make sure that what you're paying from a licensing perspective, there's value, right? So always be innovating. The next thing, answers in Vivas found within Microsoft Search. No.
Good. Honestly, it should have been there all along, right? Like a unified search, right?
Well,
if I have to go to like three different places, that is a useful search experience, right? That's you have one thing. It's one of the things Google found out really early and was super successful with. I want to go search for something. I go to one place, very simple, in get a search box, something in, I get all the results that are relevant. That's the promise of search.
Well,
so the fact that everything's going into Microsoft Search is just better.
It says answers in Viva. That's the first problem I have, right? But now the answers platform lives inside of Viva. So what does that even mean, right? So you've got to, I don't get it, right? I haven't spent any time looking at answers in Viva. I'm glad that they've not, you know, decided to make sure that answers actually shows up as a thing now from a consolidation perspective, right?
So now
it is now available to you in Search.
Yeah, and it's all Microsoft Search. It's all different places.
Well, the one search to rule them all, right? It's been professed since, like, I think they announced Microsoft.
Where you should be going to search for stuff. So it's good.
Look they announced the concept of Microsoft Search back in, I think it was 2017, right? So the fact that you've got more services available to you in Microsoft 365, the first thing you should do, here's the service. Can it be searched from the Universal Search tab, right? And according to this post, it will now surface itself inside of Microsoft Search. Yeah. Moving on.
Because the user doesn't care, right? The user doesn't care where the thing was made or like that, what platform, what technology in the background is doing it. They just want their things, right? They just want the content. It shouldn't matter where it is.
It shouldn't, right? And I mean, we'll get to Copilot, but we're not even going to discuss that. So the next two things in SharePoint excites my heart, Modlin. Excites my heart, but it's one of those topics that doesn't excite most people, right? SharePoint Premium. Does anyone care about SharePoint Premium except the knowledge managers? So yep, you've got they should. I need to hide the other one before I even get there, right? So SharePoint Premium enabled disable unstructured, structured, and pre-built document processing, which is pretty cool. So you can toggle it on and off, right, based on where you want to start looking for this. Why? Because it's a pay-as-you-go model, right?
Yeah.
So this indiscriminate, it's on everywhere, right? People will inadvertently throw 100,000 documents at it without the necessary approvals. And now you can, you know, switch it on and off, right? Which is pretty
cool. Important. It's super
important. No, it is. And for those that actually work with document processing, because that's what it's about, right? It's the AI stuff. Not the Copilot, not to be confused with Copilot. It's the AI stuff, the intelligence inside of SharePoint Syntex, the original, the OG name, right? Where you can actually do document processing. So IDP is all the rage. You look at all the RPA companies, Automation Anywhere, Blue Prism, UiPath, and a few others. They're all talking about IDP, intelligent document processing, right? Even the image capture guys, the intelligent capture solution guys like Kofax and Knowledge Lake, they're adding AI to do this, right? It's been inside of, well, SharePoint Premium or SharePoint Syntex, whatever you're calling it today. It's been there since the beginning, right? So understand the maturity of the product. What I am really excited about.
Hold on. Let's just go back there, right? Sorry. Like a quick point on that. That's like, it's the holy grail of knowledge management, right? If you get to just dump things like that, but then it actually structures it properly, right? And tags it properly and everything. I haven't done the sums to see how feasible it is, cost effective is across all of these, but that's the pinnacle, right? If that actually works as advertised, it's huge.
I touched it in the beginning. I haven't touched it in a while. The OCR was not there, right? It was not there, right? We did a year ago, we did a POC for the stuff. And when you look at traditional OCR platforms, right? This was not there. It was not there. So I'm hoping that it's come sort of full circle. It'd
be interesting to explore these again.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I move on to the one that I'm really excited about,
Mondo? Please tell us.
Okay. Here we go. This bad boy right here. Right here. SharePoint Embedded. So for those who don't know what SharePoint Embedded is, it's a headless SharePoint. So there's no GUI. Right, so like Windows Core, this is SharePoint Core. There's no front end. You get all the richness, the libraries, and all of those things. So if you want to build a custom front end an application that has document management features and security and all of those things, you can now slap this on top of what they call SharePoint Embedded. Right, super excited about it. And the way SharePoint Embedded works is exactly the way, funnily enough, Loop runs on top of SharePoint Embedded. Right. It's the first product that actually uses SharePoint Embedded. Yeah. Now, it's currently in public preview, but the nice thing about it, they're making it easier for you to spin up these, let's call it workspaces, right? Because SharePoint Embedded runs on top of cloud native infrastructure. So it's sitting on top of a container. And with this new feature, you can now manage the containers through the admin center. So it's surfacing your container because you have to spin up a container to have an embedded space, right? Or a repository, whatever you want to call it, right? And it's the storage side. Obviously, it's headless, so there's no front end. You can now do it from the SharePoint Admin Center. So I'm very excited about that because now it's managed not just through some sort of scripting and things like that. That is very exciting.
Yeah, much more friendly. It's great.
The management of these containers that you're spinning up, right? Now, it's living in the SharePoint substrate, we can call it that. It's not sitting in Azure as a container that you'd manage through AKS or some sort of container service, right? Or ACS, not AKS, Kubernetes, ACS container services, right, in Azure. This still lives inside of your M365 tenant, so you can't natively go manage it, but they're at least giving you an interface.
That's why you would choose like SharePoint Embedded, right? A lot of it's doing all the back end work and a lot of that management for you. Like that's one of the promises of using this, right? You don't have to go spin that all up yourself and manage all and like blobs and whatever. Like it's doing it for you, which is the promise of the function.
Yeah, gone on master pages. Now you don't even need master pages, right? You can do whatever want to the front end.
They would anyway.
All right, moving on. The new forms experience, Modlin. What do you think of this?
You're a forms guy. Got two thoughts, right? First thought, giving information workers a way to interact with lists and giving them whatever tools they want to gather the democratization of data and data ownership is great. The problem I have with this is we've now got another forms engine. I mean, like I don't know how dive, I don't know how customizable it is and whatever, but now we've got, so this is just for SharePoint lists, right? And the normal SharePoint list new button will still work and give you that experience, so that's there. We've also got forms, so like you can Microsoft forms and that'll gather data and you can then make a flow to deal with that and whatever, cool. And then you have Power Platforms, you've got Power Apps that you can make a really rich experience and have lots of customization in it. And now you have this new forms experience as well, where you can like share out forms and stuff. And it's just like, just pick a thing, right? Just pick a platform and go. There's such an opportunity for analysis paralysis when you have four different technologies doing essentially the same thing. And I don't like that. I like the fact that they're trying new things. I like the fact that, but yeah.
Not to be confused with Microsoft Forms, right?
No. It's entirely separate, right? This is not Microsoft Forms. Microsoft Forms is still a thing, and you can do that. But internal to your tenant, you've got a Microsoft list, right? And you want people to capture data into it, but you don't want to send them to your list so they see the full list and they got to click new and whatever. So you can now get a new link and every link and then fill out the form and it will automatically save it to the list. It's like you hit the new button, except the interface is slightly different and they don't get the list, they don't get to see all the list items and whatever. But no, it's not forms. They're keeping the normal new button. They're keeping Power Apps, all that integration stuff will still work, but now there's this new thing as well. So, I mean, good luck. If you're a normal business user, like just what you're gonna use, right? Like how you're gonna do this. Like at some point, people would be like, "Oh, okay, here's an Excel spreadsheet, fill it in," and we're back before time.
It's not.
It's cool, it's great. I would suggest for every organization, you should pick one, maybe two, right? pick one for general use cases, and then you use Power Apps for the complicated things. And then the general use cases, you pick one. You say, okay, just use lists as normal, or use this forms, or use Microsoft Forms. Also, what do you think they're going to change the name of this one to?
I don't know. Microsoft,
because lists. they can't have Microsoft Lists, new Microsoft Forms at the same time. I say they can't, like they absolutely can, and maybe will. I mean, we've still got DevOps, which is DevOps, and then it's also DevOps. So whatever.
It's called Lists Forms, right? It's in the name. It's right there.
Sure. But it's not the form you get when you're in a list to capture information. It's not the form from a list. It's a list.
Well, what is a list, Wadlin? Right?
A Microsoft list
or a SharePoint list, right?
It's the same thing. A Microsoft list is a SharePoint list, like whatever. That's the same thing. It just depends where you click the new button.
Okay. Well, yes. Okay. Moving on.
Yes, I like lists, and they're awesome.
Plan app in Teams. I thought it was always there. Is this a new plan app? It's the new one, right?
Yeah, it's a new planner app. Cool. Planner is great. It's a bit too closed off. I would like a pathway where I can put my stuff into it in a fairly easy way without having to have the Microsoft Tasks infrastructure like handle that interaction with the thing. The problem I have with Planner is like the integration pieces, and you've got like a couple different things. If you're not just using the out of the box stuff, that it falls down a bit, and some of that is not as full feature.
OneDrive, again.
Giving people they want your OneDrive to be like where you make documents, right? Where you're dealing with all your documents, so you're not doing it on your local machine, right? You're not going to your machine and typing Word or like opening up your file explorer to do that. They want you to go through OneDrive for everything. So this gives you an opportunity to the new creation task, right? You can now create it from template from within OneDrive.
Well, look, it is the holy grail, right? Instead of opening up Word, PowerPoint, or Excel and then figuring out where to save the file,
Just do it from
OneDrive, right? And bringing that rich templatized experience that you would have in Word, PowerPoint, and Excel, they're bringing it now to OneDrive, because then you never have to worry about file save and then putting it into your OneDrive, right?
What will be exciting is when businesses can set up their own template libraries. Right. And then there's a centralized place across the entire business with here's this document, here's that document, here's our presentation templates, whatever. You just go into one and say, I want these, and it's always up to date and the latest one and all that good stuff. Right. Rather than having to like go to Teams and find the sales team so you can go to the files tab and the presentation template. Just being able to do it in the normal workflow, which is in this case hopefully OneDrive. When that comes in, that'll be an exciting for business. Meaning that because that bit is still a challenge, right? How do we disseminate the templates to everybody and make sure they're all using them?
Yeah.
So that's the way to do it.
They got to fix that, right? In the old days, you could surface SharePoint templates inside of Word. When I'm saying old days, I'm talking about 10 years ago, right? That hasn't necessarily translated. I'm hoping that eventually you'd have a tab in the screen here that says My Templates, which is company templates.
Or even just custom, right? They usually call it custom. And then the back end IT guys can populate that list of custom templates.
Yeah. If there was an option to add another source in Word for your templates, right? And I remember there was Brightass. They bought a product that could do this. That could literally surface all your SharePoint templates inside of Word, PowerPoint, Excel. It was when you used to work with Office Backstage, and it was the Visual Studio Tools for Office thing where you could literally embed that into the Office client. Anyhow, we're spending a lot of time on this one.
We need to move.
Viva Goals, new URL, the Enterprise Connect stuff we are actually going to talk about in the team segment. So I'm not going to go through too much of that under SharePoint.
We'll go through it. Yeah.
So Microsoft List approvals for any list is coming, and guest sharing for Microsoft Loop. Big one. Big one. Now, funnily enough, you could do that with the personal version of Loop, not the business version of Loop. It was there since they launched Loop Personal, right? So you can create a Loop workspace with your MSA account, but not with your Microsoft 365. Well, you can create a Loop workspace and invite external users with your MSA account, but you can't do it with your M365 account. Now, apparently, you're going to be able to invite guests, right? So I'm quite excited about that. Finally,
that makes it much more useful, right?
Yes.
Like, you're always going to have some sort of collaboration. Well, not always, but often you're going to need some sort of external collaboration. So having it actually be usable is fantastic.
All right. Are we done with SharePoint? Are we moving on?
I think we've waxed poetical about SharePoint enough. Yes, let's move on to Teams.
All right.
Let's be team players.
So if you look at the little scrolly wheel on the side here,
a lot.
That's a lot of scroll, right?
Which is why we don't have a deep dive this week.
but we'll probably skip all the device stuff because we don't talk about device things. We'll have a device episode, right? We will get Tom Arbuthnot and a few others on to talk about devices and why it's important to your life.
Yeah, they can tell us what's important, because at the moment it's all just whatever to me.
Yeah, I use my computer, right? But I suppose Teams, there we go. In an office environment, Teams room systems matters, right? Literally matters. You know, front row for Teams, that unified experience, you know, better, closer, you know, more enriched experience where people are working from home, working in the office. They've even come up with a new sort of layout, a design layout for your meeting room. Your meeting rooms, that sort of half moon where it's more inclusive for people that are not physically in the office. So definitely I see a place for it. That everything is very expensive when it comes to devices, but I mean, there's not much you can do about that.
Yeah. And we'll have that discussion when we've got people who know what they're
talking. Yeah. So Discover Feed in Channels. Have you played around
with this? I haven't. It's interesting to me. I haven't gone through it. I'm very interested to see in the long term what it looks like, right? Because it's very much a sort of a social media algorithm, right? Because of the graph, it knows who you're interacting with the most. It can build up a profile of most interested in. I'm interested to know how good that is at picking up the stuff I'm really interested in, because the stuff you're engaged in all the time, you don't really in a discussion feed engaged with it all the time. It's the stuff that you're tangentially related to that has a bearing on your work, that when that then has a bearing, then you want it to discover you. So yeah, it'll be interesting, because social media algorithms leave out a lot of stuff, right, by necessity. This will also have to leave out a bunch of stuff by necessity. So it'll be to see how good that algorithm is and how it adapts over time.
Well, I want to know what metrics it uses to calculate these things, right? I've just clicked on the Discover, and there's two things here. One from the 13th of the 3rd, right, which I have no interest in, like literally no interest, but it's shown up in my Discover feed. And then the other one was a conversation from one of the channels. Not to be confused with being able to pin a channel, right? Because that's what I do. I pin the channels that I spend the most time in, and then I just navigate to that. Now it's going to surface things from where, based on what?
Yeah, I mean, they've got some social media-esque algorithm running in the back that will do this. There's no way to know what that actually is. It's always a black box.
Is this the new DALL?
No. No, I don't think so. So DALL was a look specifically into your graph feed, right? Is essentially what DALL was. This is a different thing. This isn't in the same thing. They've got an algorithm that's looking at your graph input and deciding what is most important for you, and then returning that based on your interactions, right? Same thing as it does on Twitter. Something algorithm knows you're interested in that thing, and the more it surfaces for you. I don't see anything in here about where you can sort of set preferences. And I think that would sort of be the most useful. So you can say, I don't interact with these three people a lot, but when they do stuff, I need to know about it. Or like these channels, or these keywords, these hashtags, although we don't use hashtags in Israel. Yeah, it's going to be a let's see how good that algorithm is. I'm sure Microsoft have put a lot of work into that algorithm, but none of the social media algorithms currently in play are good.
My worry with that is that people will focus squarely on the Discover information and not actual information, right?
Yeah, and that's the danger with this sort of algorithm, right? You don't go, if something's being presented to you, then you don't go searching. Right, because if the prompt me my information, then if it's not here, it must not be relevant for me. And I don't know if that's true. I would be surprised if it is actually true, if it gives you everything you need. So yeah,
more voice things, which is pretty cool. It was already cool. They're like supersizing the cool now, triple XL, right?
Yeah,
and you can do more things.
Voice isolation is important, especially in open plan offices sort of thing. It does have some issues. There's a few in open plan offices, if your neighbor in an open plan office is also having a meeting at the same time, it can have some issues there because they're both human voices, right? Also, if you're working from home and own a, like, that's the same human vocal range, so it's not going to be filtering those out. But anything to make the digital interaction voice meeting thing better is...
Yeah, I suppose in open plan offices, it matters more than, you know, me sitting in my office at home with a decent mic, right? Because I'll have leaf blowers outside, and the isolation already... you will not hear. The leaf blows outside my door, which is 3 meters, maybe 4 meters from where I am now, and you won't hear it on a call. So that's good.
But if they've proved that. Yeah, but if somebody's taking a call at their laptop without a microphone, right, and it's just using the built-in mic and stuff, it's going to vastly improve the quality of that communication.
Copilot, can't seem to get away from it.
No, it's always there. I hope this sort of thing improves the communication and technical writing capabilities of the workforce. I don't think it's going. I foresee it just making messages longer with a bunch of filler. But we'll see, right?
I don't think we're educating anyone. We're just making them dumber by teaching. And we're not teaching them how to type. We are retyping it for them so that they can sound more polite. Right?
Yeah, and that has a place, and like that sort of thing's fine. I don't know how much real value it's at.
We're making humans dumber.
Yeah. Like it's not a replacement for good technical writing skills.
Or even communication skills, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm far more worried about the technical writing skills, because that is when the communication has real weight and has impact. All the professional fluffy stuff like is important, and you want everybody to be nice to each other and whatever. But like when we need to get work done, which one of these is more important? It's the technical stuff. And concentrate on
that's
that.
Yeah, that's a word, right?
I'll deal with you being short in a message, like who cares? But that's me, right? I get this as a thing. But
I don't want AI putting words in my mouth.
No, it seems bad. Seems bad. It's like it's the same, but we're in a different position, right, Al? It's like if you talk to like hardcore security experts, they have no IoT devices in their house, right? No real hardcore security guy has a Ring doorbell. Like they just don't, right? It's the rest of us schmucks who do. And it's the same thing here, right? Like we know what goes into these, and we think we can see the benefits and the pros and the cons. But yeah, whatever. Moving swiftly along.
No, this is all calls. We don't care about calls. We don't care about the Keys app. I've never deployed.
One thing you blip past there quickly is there's an intelligent call recap. So if you're taking a call in Teams,
a telephone,
it'll do AI generated notes and stuff based on the phone call.
A telephone call.
Yeah.
I have instructed if I get a call to my office line and they are looking for me, no, I don't answer it. If you want to get hold of me, there's a contact us form on our website. That's how you get hold of me. But I do see value in the intelligent recap stuff, right? For specifically if you're having a long conversation with someone where they're asking you something and you can, you know, recap, say, hey, this is a conversation we have. What we had is a transcript. I'm answering these four questions, right?
Yeah, that it's a time saver, right? If you're having those sorts of conversations, you usually have to write all that up yourself. Now it can do it for you. The queues thing is interesting if you're running a bunch, like if you're running a bunch of VoIP right through Teams, and you want to manage your call center in Teams. I think the majority of places who are doing that have like dedicated software for that, and they're not just using Teams. But that's interesting. If nothing else,
it is. Join meetings with a QR code. Pretty cool. I'm not going to talk too much about that.
Yeah, Tandy.
Automatic camera switching for IntelliFrame. Yeah, pretty cool. Again, cool. The Teams meeting thing.
multiple camera view. Like, again, more options for when you're in these hybrid spaces.
Yeah.
More options is better. Having the platform be more flexible in how you specifically want to use it is good.
Ultrasound and proximity join, it's very sort of like it's the matrix.
Yeah, right? It's the proximity join thing, right? So it's the whole thing where you walk into the meeting room and it automatically just connects you.
Oh. This is a big one, right? The Unified Teams app, right? And yeah. You know, having one Teams app to rule them all, irrespective if you're in a personal account or a work account, right? It's now got the same Teams client, which is pretty cool, right? I think that's great, so that I don't have to worry about Teams Personal. Not that I use Teams Personal, but Windows 11 shipped with Teams Personal and confused a lot of people.
If that could just go away and I don't have to deal with it ever again, I'd be happy with that. If nothing else, get that tray out of my business.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Meeting recap and mobile, we've spoken about that. Collaborative notes has been around for a while. So you start seeing the additional tabs when you start looking at meetings, like the recap tab that's now at the end of the meeting. If you go back to the meeting afterwards, the Q&A and all things.
And you can have the collaborative notes before and after. It's very cool. I wish I worked with people who actually sent out agendas ahead of meetings. That this is a way to do it. We should all do that. We should all just collectively agree never to join a meeting that doesn't have an agenda. But we're not going to.
This is why we are mates, dude. This is why. I want to know what the meeting is about. Why am I attending it? Right. Give me some descriptions. Right. About what you want to talk about, just so that I can prepare for the meeting. Meet now in group chat. Nice feature, but I mean, how is it different from
just start a call in the group chat?
Yeah. It's a separate button now. It's a one click less, right? Because pretty cool.
There's different functionality between a meeting and a call, right? The collaborative notes and the recaps and all of that sort of stuff. Yeah.
More Copilot recapping, just a different way.
So this can also now that they've got a bit in here about recapping chat content, and it's quite right. Especially sort of in IT. I don't know about you, but I often like we're building a thing, we're troubleshooting and whatever, and you have a lot of back and forth in a chat about what's going on and everything. At the end of the whole, being able to as that and being able to present here's what was discussed and the steps we went through and all of that that's quite cool.
Notification signs, lifecycle enhancements, the webinars and town halls, manage what attendees sees. I think that's a cool thing, right? Using webinars and town halls as a thing, I've done a couple of webinars. It is getting better. The backstage side of things and the layout is getting better in when you specifically doing webinars, right? So it's quite neat. So you can actually see what your attendees see and also manage what the attendees see. Because a lot of the times, if you're not in as an attendee, you can't see what your attendees see. You're seeing the backstage, right? Yeah. So that is a pretty cool feature to have there. Duplications, yes, if it's a recurring thing. More town hall stuff, ECDN support now for town halls, although are there still ECDN providers that care about Teams since Microsoft's launched their own ECDN for Teams? So guys like Collective, good friends of mine, they don't care about Teams ECDNs. Great, great technology behind it, right? But, I mean, Microsoft killed the third-party ECDN ecosystem by introducing their own ECDN. More town halls, Teams phone things, click to call, Routing, do we care?
Yeah, all the team's phone stuff, yeah. Which is fine and very useful if you're doing it, right? Yep, but if you're not, like...
What is this now? Okay, more Teams meeting room things.
Rooms and devices.
And this is Teams rooms on Windows, because that little knack, that next unit of computing that Intel's thrown out the window, they no longer manage it or manufacture it. You still need a PC to drive your Teams rooms, and you could get Teams room for Android and Teams room for Windows. And these are the Windows enhancements, not to be confused with the Android enhancements, which is below, right? So more things. Ah, security and privacy, right? Require a meeting ID and pass to join a Teams room, right? Pretty cool. Yeah. Some management stuff, bring your own device, share display, bring more of your own device, the device ecosystem stuff. You know, we've seen this where you actually have to get your device certified, for lack of a better word, right? So more things that you can do now. Yeah.
Yeah. Planner, we've sort of discussed
the new Planner app, but now it's the new Microsoft Planner app inside of Microsoft Teams. And it's that consolidation of to do my tasks and all of those things, right? So it's quite
neat. And all of that stuff. It's cool. Like if the organization is bought into using that infrastructure, that is very cool that it's now native in Teams like that.
Some updates to backgrounds, and this is all part of the Teams premium SKU. So adding customized backgrounds to meetings, right? That sort of thing. From a brand identity perspective, you need Teams Premium for this, and they've done some cool stuff there. It's the same,
like you can dictate it for business, and you can brand the invites and the launch pages and that sort of stuff, which is great. Just gives it just looks better. It feels more professional, right? Yeah. If you've got
You seen some of the background stuff that they've added? Now there's like a frosted glass thing, pretty neat for those that use the background blur. They've improved the functionality of blur, and they're also adding additional things now.
Yeah, it looks pretty.
Yeah,
cool. More options is good.
In the new Teams app, so the support for that, so you can add a content camera if you've got a camera, pointed at a whiteboard, and you can pull all of that things through.
That's very cool.
More watermark stuff for PowerPoint. And then some stuff around archiving.
A recap instead. So yeah, there's a bunch of stuff, as you said, right? There's lots of good stuff happening.
More device things and more integration with third-party stuff like Miro and Lucidchart.
The big integration one, I think, maybe is SAP SuccessFactors. Now has a team integration. If you're using that, you can let us know in the comments on YouTube.
That's Teams. We're running out of time. We're already over time, but we've got 11 minutes left, right?
Yes. We'll speed round.
Speed round. Admin Center, the Admin Digest, right? Unified domain. We've seen that. The health dashboard is there. So it's part of the Admin Center homepage. So when you go to admin.microsoft.com, it pops up. You don't have to navigate there, which is pretty cool. Some stuff around being able to spin up additional trials. And that's it for the Microsoft 365 Admin Digest for March 2024. Not a lot of information there, right?
Yeah, not huge here.
One that I am interested in is the viewer capabilities, right? From a file viewer perspective, right? We used to see that with a thumbnail and search and things like that. Additional updates to the file viewer, right? It says the file view in Microsoft opens by default when you're accessing non-Office files from OneDrive, SharePoint, or Teams, right? So it's quite neat. It will render, a PDF, a video, or even a CAD drawing, which is pretty cool, right? And, so that you can actually see the image. You might not be able to interact with it, but you know, they support over 300 file types, so you never have to. For those people who don't have the native application, because that will be a MIME type association, it will now allow you to open up a better experience than what it currently was, you know, previously, right?
Yeah.
Also the speed and the
two or three big things in here that I think are really cool is obviously the performance improvements, right? It has been quite slow. Just making it faster is better. The ability to deal with PDFs, right? So in that experience, you can chop and change, merge different ones. That's very, very cool. Being able to that viewer who's got access to that document, right? Being able to see the share information in one place there. Has Bob seen this? Does he even have access to it?
Then obviously they're introducing Copilot the file viewer experience, where you can actually tell Copilot to go look at this document, right?
Yeah, and that's handy, right? So you can pull it up wherever it is and say like, yeah, this kind of looks like what I'm looking for. Hey, Copilot, what does this document say? Give me a summary.
Yeah,
that's useful. That's useful.
Yeah, that's very, very. If you've 300 got different file types for Copilot to read, right?
Yeah. If you've got the Copilot licensing to do that, that's very cool.
Yeah. So moving on to what's new in Copilot for Microsoft 365. No.
Yeah.
Not interested.
I'd like. A lot of this is cool, and they're starting to do things that I think makes this a lot more useful. So that first part there that sounds sort of stupid, ground Copilot prompts in work context. So that when you're interacting with these, it's not just about the content that you're dealing with at that point, right? So you're in a Word document and you pull up Copilot. You can interact with it, and it's not only going to look at that Word document. It's going to look at all of your work, right? So it's be able to access the rest of the stuff you have in M365, which I think is makes it more in line to be useful, right? I have yet to see any really uses for this sort of stuff, but it is very exciting, and they're starting to stitch all these different Copilots together, right? So you get a more holistic experience. And I think that more holistic experience is the thing that can get useful.
Yeah.
Beyond just producing copy, right?
Well, we'll have to see where this Copilot goes, right? It's still a use case thing, right? So meeting recap Copilot, that's great. Massive value there. Building a slide deck for people that don't live inside a PowerPoint from a Word document is also cool. And then also being able to recap a massive document into salient points, right? So that's pretty cool. Yeah, and they're talking about also interacting with Copilot directly in Outlook. I thought that was there already.
Yep.
And it will also do cool search stuff, right? Which I'm hoping Copilot for Outlook is going to improve the really bad search features in Outlook.
That is terrible. And having that be context aware too, right? So it's not just looking at your emails. It's also going to pull the documents you have in SharePoint One of the issues with this and a bit further down the page, some of the stuff they're doing with this is around the accessibility issues with these sort of AI things, right? Because you can say, look at all of the content, but then anybody interacting with that LLM also has access to all of that content. and you might not want them. You might not want that, right? You might need it compartmentalized. You maintain and all of that. So how it's actually going to be handled is interesting and not something we really know at the moment. But the first sort of steps in this are happening now, right?
Yeah, and I think the last thing on Copilot is probably the big one, which is, you know, the restricted SharePoint search. Mm-hmm. So you can start stopping Copilot from seeing specific things in search, which doesn't make sense because that's what security is for, right?
Yeah.
So you've got another layer of trimming when it comes to being able to contextualize content that you want Copilot to look at, right?
Yeah.
Which is
the next step is having the chatbot be context aware enough to say, okay, I'm talking to Bob in these ones.
well, they're trying to plug the hole that is proper information architecture, right?
Yeah. Like with all of this AI stuff, right? It's data processing, which means your data needs, and if it's not, like, you can throw as much AI at it as you want, it's not going to help. You need to do the hard work before the flashy stuff will work.
Yeah, so. And this is like it's an interim measure, and interim is always permanent, right? Because that's how it is, right? I had a scanning deployed for four years.
The EOC that's been running for 10 years.
Yes, that one. That's exactly that.
Yeah.
All right, we've got 3 minutes. Copilot dashboard inside of Viva.
It's like having dashboards for your Copilot stuff is very important. Being able to track how many people are using it and using it for that is really important because it is quite expensive to use all of these tools. So if you are paying for it, you want to make sure that the people you're paying for to use it are actually using it and getting value, and that nobody else is using it just running for nothing. So
yeah,
it's important.
It's an important resource, right?
Yeah, totally. So it's very important. I don't know that all the information you want is there currently, but it'll improve over time as any, right? It's good. Good to have the visibility into the data.
Yeah. In the interest of time, I'm going to skip through the noteworthy things. I think in one of the previous episodes, we talked about coming, and you've got Microsoft Surface Pro and Surface Laptop. Well, the Surface Pro 10, the Surface Laptop 6 has been released. Super sexy devices, and you can get it from a business retailer of choice. I think in South Africa, you can go into Incredible and a few other suppliers where you can procure these things. Right. And it's very cool. Latest Intel processor, it's more a Windows 11 thing where you've got your VDI and your Windows 365 cloud PC experience right out of the box. It's not only with these devices, it's more of a Windows 11 thing, but they're obviously tagging it onto Surface Pro 10 and the latest Surface Laptop 6, which is a firm favorite of mine, the Surface Laptop range. But now you can seamlessly interact with various desktops, be it the desktop on your notebook, be it the desktop that's in the cloud, the various desktops, cloud PC, Windows 365, and also your Azure Virtual Desktop infrastructure as well.
It's amazing how we're going back to terminal computing.
Literally, right? The most secure way of working is with a cloud PC, right?
Yeah. You have a dumb terminal and... like, what you're going to do with it?
It's a Pi 4 running Ubuntu, right? With an RTP connection on it, right?
Yeah, that's all you need.
Full screen up the wazoo, problem solved. Modlin, I'm not even going to play the intro to your game.
No, don't. I've got a very short one. I've been chatting to people recently and realized people don't know. If you have a M365 environment, if you're in IT and you're looking at this sort of stuff, Your tenant admins can turn on the ability for you to create a dev environment, a dev environment in Power Platform. So you can go to Power Platform, you can create your own environment. It is a developer environment, so you cannot use it for production, but it doesn't have all the licensing requirements, right? If you want to get into, I need to see if we can use common data service, Dataverse, for this thing, but I don't want to pay to spin up a whole new Dataverse database, you can use your dev environment. Also, you should be using a dev environment because else you're developing in production. So do that. You can do that. Go to Power Apps, see if you can create a new tenant. If you can't, it's almost no. Talk to your IT guys. Get yourself one of those because it's fun to play with all these things, but you don't want to pay for it. So the dev environments let you do that.
Oh,
you don't have to be sorry, Al.
It's my retro sunglasses that I found in a box in the garage. My Yammer sunglasses, right?
The Yammer sunglasses.
Is Yammer that a wrap at an hour and 1 minute?
An hour and 1 minute. We powered through some of that. I think we had some good discussions. Interesting things coming, some cool stuff coming. Let us know in the comments what you think about these various things. What's coming out that you're excited about? What do you want us to talk about? Was there anything we didn't spend enough time on? Anything we talked too long about? You guys let us know.
Well, we are trying
to make the show better for you.
Long format podcast is, right? Because we could go another 40 minutes, but you know,
we could totally do that. I don't think you want to listen to us do that, so that's why we try, we really do.
All right, are you going to close off, sign off?
Absolutely. If you guys are enjoying the show and what we do, and you want us to keep doing it, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, smash the bell, do all those things, leave us a comment, help us game the algorithm. The best way to do it really is just tell one of your colleagues, tell one of your friends, hey, these guys are kind of entertaining and they've got some good information, give them a listen. And if you want to find us elsewhere online, you can. You can find the podcast. You can find our website, twoguysandsharepoint.co.za. That's the number two. You can find us on Twitter at twoguyssharepoint. I'm on Twitter at oddmodlin, and L is
at Alistair Pugin. What I will do is I'll update the social icons on the website to reflect both Apple Music and obviously Spotify so that you can find that. It's actually not there, Modlin. I've just
checked. Is it not? Yeah, we are on. All we you can find us on your podcast app of choice, right? Wherever you want to listen to it, you can do that. Find us on YouTube, find us on Twitter. When I can dip my toe into the cesspool that is general social media. And I think that's it from us, say Al.
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening, spending time. We don't check Spotify or Apple podcasts. We literally don't, right? So we don't have any, we're not here because we want to collect views, but we'd love for you to comment and collaborate with us in YouTube. So even if you don't hit that subscribe button, please add a comment, right? If you have topics that you want us to talk about, add it to the YouTube. You know, it's at two guys in SharePoint, one word, youtube.com/@2guysinSharePoint. And that's our YouTube show. And thanks for getting to the end of the show. And we'll catch you.
Yeah, you made it the whole way. Well done to you.
Ciao, ciao.
Cheers. Don't forget the audience.
That was the wrong outro. That's how tired I am. All right, I'm
hitting the wrong button
now.